Good morning.
Good morning.
The pastor asked me to teach again this morning. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to get up here and teach because I have to study. And when I have to study, I learn more and more about the Lord. And that's a blessing. The long suffering of God is now exhausted. That's the name of the message. Last week I taught on the principalities and powers and the long suffering of the Lord. But we're going to look at what happens when that long suffering is now exhausted, and it's not a pretty sight. We'll be looking at Revelation chapter 16. And one thing you learn in studying Revelation chapter, or Revelations period, is that there's three things that occur: the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. And a lot of people try to take these seals, trumpet, and vials and try to make them one right after the other. But when you study this stuff, you find out that they're all intertwined. Some of them, it's like this, you know, it's not quite matches up, but if you do this and put, you'll see, because God gives you little hints about where these things lie during the tribulational period. You know, the first seal, we have the Antichrist, the white horse. And then we get down to the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. When you get to the seventh trumpet, God says the mysteries of God should be finished as He hath declared unto His servants. So nothing really happens, it's done. When you get to the vials, He says again, it's done. Talking about He pours the vials into the air, or pours the vial into the air. He doesn't really tell you what happens, but He said, it's done. It's finished. Right after that, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and returns to the earth, taking out all the armies of the world. Now, Revelation is for those who are going to go through the tribulational period. It's not for Christians. And a lot of people will argue that and say, well, we think we're going to go through it. But it goes back to the Bibles. When man decided that he was going to rewrite the Bible, he decided he didn't like tribulation, so he took it out. Or he took the rapture out of the tribulation. But the rapture is clearly taught. In fact, there might be even two, possibly three raptures during the tribulational period. But we only know of two. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am Christ, crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, Lord, I pray that You'll take me out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit have full dominion. Let Your words proceed out of my mouth, Lord. And if anything comes out of my mouth, Lord, I pray that the people will forget it. Lord, I love You and I praise Your name and I thank You for this lesson. And I pray that the people that hear it will take it to heart and share it with those around them. For I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you are crucified with Christ, Revelation chapter 16 is not for you. But if you are not born again, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 16 is all about you. In Revelation chapter 16, it says in verse 1, it says, And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. You don't see this in the seals. You don't see this in the trumpets, but you see it in the vials. The wrath of God. And this wrath is going to be poured out without measure. It's going to be everyone that's on the face of the earth, except those that have the mark of God. The first vial is found in verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. If you are hearing a clear gospel of Jesus Christ today, or any in the past, when the tribulation starts, you will be turned over to a delusion and you will take the mark. That's what the Bible says. So don't try to put off salvation, because when Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be so sudden and so fast, and people aren't going to be predicting the date or anything. It's going to happen and you're gone. And it's too late. This noisome and grievous sores is in reference to the sixth Egyptian plague. The Bible has a lot to say about these sores. It's horrible what people are going to have to go through during the tribulational period, those who have rejected Jesus Christ and taken the mark. The implications of this mark is that it becomes cancerous and it becomes extremely painful. And it's from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, under your armpits, everywhere that you don't want to boil, that's where it's going to be. And these sores are going to be putrefying. They're going to be seeping. They're going to be painful. And you won't be able to, and it gets worse. As if it couldn't get any worse. I mean, if I get a boil, that thing irritates me to death. You got to go to the doctor, get it lanced, and get it taken care of. But these boils, these sores, are uncurable. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12 through 13, it talks about these boils. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 35 says, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with the sore botched that cannot be healed, from the soles of thy foot to the top of your head. Now, imagine for 1 minute that you are full of sores from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. What you learn by studying this is that the Lord Jesus Christ, in His righteousness, judges the unrighteous. Everyone in Hollywood are all concerned about their looks. People all around the world are concerned about their looks. They go to gyms, they work out, they get surgeries done on things that the nature didn't give them. They go to cosmetics and they buy cosmetics, and they do everything in the world to try to regain what they lost in the garden. Women wear makeup to try to get that glow back that they lost in the garden. Men try to go work out and take supplements to regain what Adam lost in the garden. We do everything in the world to try to be healthy. And it's all because of what Adam and Eve lost in the garden. We know that we're not perfect. All we have to do is look in the mirror and you know, hey, I need some work done. Boy, am I ugly. Or it's all about your self-ego and about self-pride. But when you get to this point, when the long-suffering of God is finished, what God is going to do is He's going to take all that putrefying ugliness that we have inside us and He's going to bring it on the outside for the world to see. All these people in Hollywood that think they're so beautiful and so smart and so glamorous, one day they're going to have to be covered with sores from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, and there's no cure for it. That's what the world is looking at. And to make matters worse, the second vial is poured out. Revelation chapter 16, verse 3, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." You're not going to be able to go to the beach because you're going to have putrefying sores all over you. You won't want to go to the beach anyway because it's going to be coagulated blood in our oceans. Now, you can't imagine that. None of us can, because we can't even think of anything being that putrefying. But it's going to be dead man's blood. If you've ever been around someone who's been murdered and you see all their blood out on the streets from an accident, it's scary. It's disgusting. It smells. And that's what our oceans are going to be. And if you look at Revelations chapter 8, verse 8, it says, or let's go to verse 9, it says, "And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed." Here you have these putrefying sores from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You got blood in the oceans. No transportation from the sea is going to come in and out because the ships are destroyed because of this coagulated blood. Ships can't go in coagulated blood. Imagine being in a submarine, being at the bottom of the ocean, and all of a sudden the seas turn to coagulated blood and you're stuck down there. Imagine all the fish and all the stuff that floats up to the, eventually makes its way up to the top and smells. We're seeing that with this red tide in Florida. But it's going to be far worse than what Florida ever imagined. Then you get to Revelation chapter 16, verse 4. And it says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became blood." Now God's getting a little bit more personal. Not only do you have sores from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and they're seeping and they're sticking to your clothes and you're just miserable, and now you have no water to drink. And your tongue starts to cleave to the roof of your mouth. You want to die, but some way you're staying alive. You can't die. And now you can't wash your wounds because it's all the blood of a dead man. This is what you're looking at if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What a way to go. What a sick way to die. And you don't have to. And you say, well, it's not going to happen to me. If you receive Jesus Christ, it won't. But if you don't, you're headed right there. If you live long enough, if you're not one of the one-third of the population that dies, or one-fourth of the population that dies, at the end, 200 million die. Don't kid yourself. This is where you're heading. the angels look at this this plague, and they praise the Lord for it. Remember, I said God is long-suffering, and all these things has happened all over the world, and people have been killed, and Christians have been killed, and nothing seems to happen. Why? Because God is long-suffering. But His long-suffering in this chapter is finished. And now the wrath of God has been poured out. And look what the angels say in verse 5. And I heard an angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And believe me, they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God, mighty, almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. Wow. People deserve, they're going to get what they deserve. And you say, well, I don't deserve that. You do if you reject Jesus Christ. God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die on the cross of Calvary for you. And you reject His Son, God is going to reject you. Do you know Him? I pray you do. Now, to make matters worse, and it gets worse, Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with the great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. When God created man, He created for the sole purpose to praise Him, give Him glory, and have a relationship with Him. God desires to talk to you. God desires to have a relationship with you. God desires to give you life. God's desire is to give you eternal life in His eternal kingdom, to rule and reign and be co-heirs with Christ. And you reject Him, God is going to reject you. Now you have putrefying sores seeping from your body. And you have no water to drink and you're thirsty. You can't die. You want to die, but you can't. And you're walking around. You're like this and you can't walk. Your clothes are stuck to your body because of all those putrefying sores. You have no water to wash them or cleanse your clothes. You're stinking. You got blood of a dead man to drink, and then it's hot. It's so hot that you can't go out in the sunlight, or you get your head scorched. You get those putrefying sores on top of your head get even sorer. You want to die, and you can't. You know, you read about things that they're doing to extend man's life. And they're even talking about in another 2 years they're going to come up with a pill that will take care of your DNA and heal it to where you can live to be 150 years old. And as long as you keep taking this pill, you'll get younger. You'll feel younger. All those aches and pains and arthritis and all that stuff will go away. And they're talking about this in a couple years. I saw the picture of the man who is working on this. And he's my age. And he looks good for his age. So this stuff is real. I saw a guy in Google. And they spent billions of dollars on extending man's life. And this guy was in his 60s, and he looked like he was 19. This stuff is being worked on today. A lot of people will sell their soul for that. You got disease, you got no water, and you got blistering heat. And you say, well, how hot is it? And Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26 tells you how hot it is. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the sun and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breaches of the people and healeth the strokes of the wounded, of their wounds. Malachi chapter 4, verse 7. And behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. These people are going to die. After suffering all that, the sores, the coagulated blood, the heat, and then when they die, they wake up in hell. And it just begins. It's 1,000 times worse. I was watching the internet and I found this guy that was giving his testimony. He died and he went to hell. He said, I could feel myself sinking, and the farther I went down, the warmer it got until I ended up in hell. And he says, hell was hot. It was miserable. He said, but that wasn't the worst part of it. He said, there was demons down there with claws and they were ripping away at my flesh. And he says, I felt the pain of being ripped apart. And as soon as they ripped me apart, it started all over again. And it kept happening over and over again. And he says, then all of a sudden, they brought me back to life. They shocked me back to life. And then I cried out to Jesus. He said, I didn't want to go back there. Nobody should go back there. Nobody has to go back there. We're in a world heading for hell. You've watched the trials for this judge. He wants to be a judge. He wants to do right. And the world hates him. You see how they're gnashing at him? They're tearing him apart. They're tearing his family apart. They're trying to ruin this man because he wants to do good. And they hate good. They hate it. They hate you if you are good. God help us. Fifth vial poured out. Revelation chapter 16:10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain. How big is this? The seat of the beast will be in Jerusalem during the tribulation. His kingdom, who knows how big that is? A couple weeks ago or months ago, up in Siberia, in this one area, it went completely dark in the middle of the day. 12 o'clock noon. Dark. Complete darkness. They don't know why, but it went completely dark. They thought, well, maybe Russia's using a new weapon or something happened. But something blocked the sun from shining in that area. And all the people were really worried because this is an area where the sun shines 24/7 during the summer months. But it went black. In Joel chapter 2 verse 1 says, blow the trumpets of Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the mountains of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountains, as great light, as great people, and a strong, there is none been ever like it, neither shall there be any more after it. This darkness, I believe, is going to be so dark that you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face. You can turn your flashlight on, you won't be able to see nothing. But during that darkness, when everyone is worried about the lights coming on, all of a sudden, they're going to look up. All these armies have been gathered together. They're going to Armageddon. And all of a sudden, you're going to see a bright light in the east. And that bright light will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until they realize that the Son of God is on His way. Because wherever He goes, darkness flees away. He's the light of the world. I can't wait. Because I'm going to be right behind Him. You got to ask a question. Are you going to be in front of Him? Or are you going to be behind Him? That's the great question. I want to be in back of Him, watching the whole thing, riding on my steed, galloping through those dead bodies of people that hate God, because in every Christian's mind, he wants vengeance. He wants this world to be avenged. What they're doing to our children today, teaching them how to be perverts, what a world we live in. What a terrible place. And I know I'm. It seems like I harp on this every time I teach, but I'm concerned. I really am. I'm concerned about my grandchildren if the Lord doesn't come back. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about your children. And one thing you got to realize when you're a parent, you can ask my son. I'd ask him all the time, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus? And they say, yeah. Oh, yeah. But then they got older. And then they got saved. They really got saved. You know how you can tell if a person gets saved? They want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't want to talk about Him, if they say, well, not, Dad, don't bother me with that today, they better question your salvation. Because when you get saved, all you want to do is talk about Him. It's just like when you met your wife or you met your husband, all you want to do is talk about your husband or your wife or your future wife because you loved him. If you love him, you want to talk about him. If you love him, you're going to learn more about him.
Amen.
If you don't, we're living in a society that's obsessed with tattoos, piercings, and all kinds of sex. Do you know that 60% of our teenagers today and that are running around are sexually active? And out of that 60%, 60% will get an STD that is incurable. That STD that is incurable, they got a new one now that's in London that's heading this way that is flesh eating. So it's really getting exciting now. They think something's wrong with someone if they're abstinent. You'll find out. 72,000 people died of opioid addictions every year. Tennessee is one of the largest states. It's number 2 in the nation for opioid addiction. Alabama's number 1. Boy, wouldn't it be terrible to be number 1? But it gets worse. It grows by over 10,000 deaths every year. Revelation chapter 16:11. And they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their bands and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. Jesus Christ, all He asks is that you come to Him. And He says, I will in no wise cast out. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof was dried up, that the way of the king of the east might be prepared. You know, I did a little... Well, God gave it to me. I saw a video of these soldiers talking about this dam that's built on the Euphrates River. And they were keeping prisoners down in there because there's only one way in, one way out. And they, you know, of course. But no one wants to go down there because of all the screaming and yelling and hollering that's coming up out of the ground. And even the soldiers don't want to go down there. And the prisoners don't want to be there. And it's driving them all crazy. When I was reading about another hole that they bored into the earth, and they had to close it up because of all the screaming and the yelling, and people got, you know, and then you read about Jacques Cousteau, and he went down so many feet and started hearing all these screaming, and he had to be drawn up, and he sent another man down, he heard it, and he was driving him crazy, he had to come up. Hell is real. Then we get to the frogs. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets. You got darkness. Darkness is right before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, but you got to have an army. But you got to get that army there. The world's in chaos. There's no food, there's no water. And you got to get a 200 million man army miles and miles away from where they are right then. How do you get them there? It's going to be hard persuading people to come to, you know, 2,000 miles or 1,000 miles away from their home to go to a place called Megiddo. So how do they get them there? These three frogs. They're unclean spirits. They're sent out. And when I read this, I thought, how am I going to teach this, Lord? And He says, well, if you want to find out what's going on, go where it began. So I went to Exodus chapter 8, verse 4. It's the third plague. And there's three frogs. And the frog shall come up both upon thee, talking about the leaders, and upon thy people, that's the middle class or the next group, and upon all thy servants. And I looked at that and I said, well, Lord, what do you mean by that? He says, these spirits, these three frogs, they're false prophets, and they'll come upon the people. They'll come upon the leaders, one. That's one frog. One will come upon the people, and one will come upon the servants. And these devils will convince the people that that's where they need to go. And if you've ever been around someone that's been demon-possessed, they don't have a will of their own. They do what these demons want them to do. And then you get down to Revelation chapter 16, verse 14, and he says the same thing. He says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. In 1 Kings chapter 22, God wants Ahab to go to this battle where he's going to be killed. And he says, how am I going to get Ahab to go? And he says, in verse 21, it says, and there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith, and he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. So these are lying spirits that are going to pull these people to a battle they really don't want to go to. Verse 15 is overlooked a lot of times because, you know, it says, Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and see his shame. When he comes as a thief, the second advent is going to come on suddenly. It's going to be without warning. It's going to be without any provocations. It's just going to happen. And people will not be able to stop it from happening. This 200 million man army will march. And they'll get to their destination. And they will die. But keep his garment, lest he walk naked. I was doing some research, and I told a brother about this, and he says, Where'd you find that at? And I said, Well, it was about 10 years ago when I found this. I said, I really don't know. I said, I searched every scripture, couldn't find it. So I started looking at commentaries, and that's where I found it. During the night, and this is found in Edersham's The Temple. It's a historical outlook on the temple and how they did things back then. During the night, the captain of the temple made his rounds. And they had something like 12 posts on the temple. And they set these men up there, and they were to look and all night long and to guard, to make sure nothing came to the temple to rob or pillage or whatever. And as I was watching, you get to about 4 o'clock in the morning, you want to go to sleep. And you start, you get up and walk around a little bit. And sometimes you see people give into it. And these men would take off their cloaks, and they'd roll them up, and they would use them for pillows, and they'd lay down and go to sleep. Well, this captain of the temple will walk, make his rounds. And if he found somebody asleep, he had the authority to beat that guy with a stick, to burn his clothes, and to send him home naked. Boy, does that sound familiar. And I was talking to this brother, and I said, when I was reading this, I said, all I could think about is one day we're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ, give an account. And we're going to have to give an account of what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know I harp on this all the time, but it's so important. Whenever you stand before Him, are you going to stand with a garment? Or are you going to stand with a garment that's stained with sin, that has holes in it? Are you going to be stark naked when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? I know we get clothed with our righteousness after the judgment seat of Christ, but we're going to be judged before. And I know this is probably referring to the tribulational saints that had their garments washed in the blood of the Lamb, and those who take their garments off before, that means that they didn't follow through with their walk with the Lord, and they didn't get their heads cut off, and there's all kinds of ways of looking at this. But I want you to look at it and examine your heart to see, where do I lie? I would rather have clothes that are filthy rags than to be standing before my Lord naked without anything. So you got to ask yourself a question. Where am I going to be, and how am I going to add up? Is he going to say, good and faithful servant? You're saved based on your salvation. You got your salvation is there. It's yours. God will not take that away from you. But he says, I want to make you kings and priests. He says, if you're faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. But there's one servant. It didn't say he went to hell. It says he gnashed teeth. That he was so mad at himself. Why didn't I do the things of the Lord while I had the chance? Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. God says this four times in the Bible. But now it's finished. Judgment has happened. And now the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And I believe that this is when the principalities and powers and all that have had their dominion taken away from them. And now the Lord Jesus Christ has been given that dominion over this earth. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I heard, and there was a voice and thunder and lightning. And there was a great multitude, such as not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. There's not going to be a mountain standing. There's not going to be a hill. There's not anything that's going to stand. In fact, the Mount of Olives is even going to be split into four different directions when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4 and 5, it says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mountain of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north and half towards the south. When Jesus Christ comes back, everything moves. He came as a lowly man of Galilee. Now he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Almighty God. And the next verse says, and every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Nothing stands higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you know him? Revelation chapter 16, verse 21. And this is one of the most prophetic verses in the Bible as far as the lost, when God's long-suffering is finished. And there fell upon men a great hailstone, or a great hail from out of heaven. Every stone about a talent, a weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. This is God's law being fulfilled on the hearts of the wicked. When you blaspheme the Lord Jesus Christ, you blaspheme God, you are going to be held accountable. If you're lost, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's blaspheming the Holy Spirit, you are ready for judgment. The Levitical law says in verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 16, and it says, and he that blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the strangers, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemes the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. God's wrath is going to be rained down on this earth with 125-pound hailstones. Now you see what a softball-sized hailstone does to your car? Can you imagine a 125-pound hailstone? There is no place to hide. It will go through anything. If it goes through a car window and smashes it, just think what it'll do to your roof, 125 pounds. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've taken the mark, you'll be walking around with sores like this, and you'll be thirsty, and you'll be miserable, and the sun's hot, and all of a sudden a big old 125-pound hailstone, you're gone, you're finished, you're in hell. It's like a hammer hits you and drives you straight into hell. There's no ante to pick up. There's no pass and go. There's no going to jail. It's straight to the judgment of hell. Ask yourself, do you know Him? Are you ready? Do you know the Lord when He comes? Are you 100,000% sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your God and that you're going to meet Him when He comes, when He calls you up? Don't let me talk you out of your salvation. But I tell people whenever they ask me, do you think I'm saved? I'll say, no. If you have to ask, you're not saved. You need the Lord. You need to get born again. Let's pray. Our dear Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this message. Lord, I pray that it touches somebody. Lord, it made me appreciate my salvation when I was studying it. Lord, I don't want Your judgment. I want Your mercy. I want Your grace. I thank You, Lord, for saving my wretched soul. Lord, if there's anyone in this house today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, everyone knows that judgment's coming. But they don't have to go through it. They can go straight to heaven. They don't have to worry about hell. They don't have to worry about the vials. They don't have to worry about the boils and all that stuff. They can go be with You in paradise. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts. Help us to repent of our sins. And help us to be ready and watching and waiting. And Lord, help us to keep our garments clean. For I ask in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.